Good evening, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. Good morning, good night, good evening, whatever it is. I don't even know anymore, man. I'm back in the timeless zone, Jim. I'm back in the subterranean world of radio. It's timeless. We're going out into the ether. How are you, Jim Earl?
I'm really good. I'm hopped up on green tea.
This is what you sound like, hopped up, man?
Yeah.
Dude, I got to be honest with you. Do you smell cat pee? Do you smell cat pee?
Yes, I do. I didn't want to say anything.
Do you really, Brandon? You smell cat pee?
Hey, yeah, I smelled it.
I thought it was just your typical fear pee, but evidently it is cat pee.
No, it's a whole different pee.
Really?
This is a different pee. Jason, did you from Wisconsin? Do you smell cat pee? Be honest with me. Did you smell it?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't.
Oh, see that? All right, see? So
give it some thought.
I am so sick of playing this game at my house, man. I am so sick of playing this game at my house. And you know what? I can't even blame my wife. These are my cats. I have four cats. And if there's a pile of clothes, if I just say, you know, I'm not going to put that shirt away. I'm just going to put these pants on this shelf right here. I'm just going to leave these pants on the floor. And now I don't know where the cat pee is. Every day I got to find the cat pee. And I'm tired of it, but I don't know what to do about it, Jim. I don't know what to do about it. I can't live my life like this anymore.
I know where that cat pee is.
Where?
In that damn cat.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Why can't I just get the cat pee out of the cat, Jim?
You don't have to get it out. Well, you can just find a way to keep it in there.
Oh, my God. This is Progressive Talk, AM 1150. If you didn't realize that's what was going on right there, it was a Progressive Talk. That's what that is. And it is progressive because I care about the animals. I'm not going to make a coat out of those cats. I love the cats dearly.
No, they wouldn't keep you warm.
No, I know, but it would look nice if you think about it. Because if you see my cat, I got a calico, I got an orange one, I got a gray and white one, and then there's a stinky one. I got a cat that doesn't know how to groom itself, which is a really pathetic a bit of business. And he's always got black snot and he's got black stuff in his eyes. And I don't know what to, and you know what? I've grown to resent him because he's the one doing this. He's the one walking around bullying the other cats. This is Boomer saying, that's it. I'm going to pee. I'm going to crap. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure everybody knows this is my damn house. And that includes me, apparently, because I'm on break now. I'm going to have to figure out where the cat pee is. This is Progressive Talk, AM 1150. All right? That's what we're talking about. This is a guy who loves cats, despite the fact that I'm sitting in their pee right now. Look, folks, I am not prepared to host the Oscars at all. Do you understand? I am not prepared at all.
I agree with you.
That is the only, can't you say anything positive about me?
Okay, I don't agree with you. I don't know what you want out of me, man.
No, it's the only way I can rationalize the fact that the guy that I would judge myself against for the last 20 years is now hosting the Oscars. The only way that I can live with myself right now is to realize deeply that if I had to be that guy, if they call me and say, Maron, could you host the Oscars? That the amount of freaking out and the number of cold sores that would erupt on my face, just knowing that I would have to do that, would be, well, that would actually be interesting for me to just, you know, be the guy. Here's the host of the Oscars for this year, Marc Maron, and I just get out there and I freak out and I go, do I smell like cat pee? Does this tuck smell like cat pee? Do you think I could pull that off for 5 minutes opening the Oscars monologue?
I think that would be hilarious.
We're going to gossip about Jon Stewart because you have a gossip about Jon Stewart that I'm going to get out of you. I'm going to gossip a little bit. I love gossip and I don't want to admit it. I'm trying not to be catty on the air because it's gotten into nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. Every time. See, I thought that was part of the game. You know, you talk crap about people on the air that, you know, in other stations, on TV or whatever. Every time I've said something, there's something about the intensity and the honestness that I bring to slander that just gets me in trouble every time. I will tell you a story about how I was kicked out of Comedy Central. I was kicked off an entire network for a year, blacklisted, all right, for one line. I'll tell you why Adam Sandler came up to me and said, I hear you saying stuff about me. I'll tell you why that happened. And we're going to talk about some other gossip with Mark Lazanti. He is the editor of Defamer, defamer.com, which I've spent some time on since he's going to be our new friend. It's quite a decent gossip site. I don't want to admit to gossip. Also, we've got comedian Andy Kindler, by far the funniest guy I have ever seen. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I'm a huge fan of Andy Kindler. Lawton Smalls is coming in. Well, I'll be on the phone. We'll call him. We've got Johnny K Street. And, of course, we have our Dick of the Day in a little while. So stick around. I mean, this is going to be a great show. You're listening to Progressive Talk, AM 1150, markmaron.com. Go there.
Live from Burbank, California, named after a dance. the Mark Maron Show. And now he's freedom's prisoner, Mark Maron!
Oh, thank God. Thank God it's Thursday. Is that how that saying goes? Yeah. Thanks for the intro, Jim. That was wonderful.
Oh, you know,
really tremendous.
Thank you.
This is Progressive Talk, AM 1150. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. You can only call that from inside the Los Angeles area. We're going to be changing that as soon as we go national. Hey, all you bloggers, thanks for showing up. I appreciate that. It's nice to see everybody there every night. It makes me feel loved and good. And thanks for some of the suggestions about how to get rid of the cat. Cat pee. And yes, it is my wife's mean dirt cat Boomer who is peeing on my stuff. But that is not important. There's some stuff going on in the world that we should talk about. A couple of things happened. I'm going to bring my guest on in just a second. We're going to talk about gossip. So let me make the phone request specific. 877-520-1150. You got any dirt that has any relevance on a broader cultural level? In other words, something we might know about, somebody we might know about, your favorite gossip stories. We're going to do this kind of stuff because I think it's important to be evil. And our guest is, that's his business, is purveying gossip, which is good.
And some evil thrown in.
Yes, and some evil thrown in. We're going to talk to Mark Lisanti in just a second. I just want you people to know, if you're just checking in, because I know if you're living in L.A. and you haven't caught the news, I will sort of broad stroke it for you. Patriot Act, passed, re-upped it. Bad news. The only good guy in the Senate, Russ Feingold, standing alone saying, I'm not into it. Okay? That's, Russ Feingold's a real dude. He really cares about people, and I love him. We gotta get him back on the show. We used to have him on Morning Sedition quite a bit. Bottom line, with all this Katrina stuff, the briefings, Bush lied. No question about it. India sanctified as a legitimate nuclear power by the President of the United States. And on the good news side, it looks like the Republicans, certainly Representative Duncan Hunter of California is going to do everything he can to stop this port thing. We're going to talk about Bush's narcissism. We're going to talk about celebrity, and I'm going to, rant about that in a little while. But first, a lot happened in the world today that I didn't get to, and so we want to make sure you're caught up on current events before you go to bed. So here's tonight's edition of Mark Maron's Short Order News. Newly discovered, American Express bills show lobbyist Jack Abramoff paid for a pair of $14,000 plane tickets so Representative Tom DeLay could play golf in Scotland. According to his bill, Abramoff still has enough bonus points collected to bribe two local officials and one Indian chief. Great. A new poll shows that only 37% of Californians would re-elect Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Coincidentally, sales have gone through the roof for a new bumper sticker that reads, "Don't blame me, I voted for Gary Coleman." Is that really happening? That probably is a real story. New studies have showed that soft drinks in Britain and France have 8 times the amount of carcinogens that is permitted in drinking water. After the findings were discovered, one company recalled all cans and bottles of their most popular seller, Brian Soda. Come on, Brian Soda. That's a winner, Brian Soda. In post-Olympics news, one of Bodie Miller's teammates says a skier spent all of his time at the Olympics getting drunk and trying to have sex with women. Unfortunately, the women he had sex with say that Bodie was so drunk that he kept going down the wrong chute. Yeah, man, come on, man. That's not sophomoric. That's just good old funny anal sex metaphor humor. Come on. Is this boy time?
That's what one word means one thing and then it also means another thing at the same time.
It's dirty. All right, come on. This fun time. I'm punchy. All right, well, our guest, folks, and I wasn't trying to suggest it. We'll talk about it in a minute. Our guest is a huge gossip monger, and he's proud to say so because that's how he makes his living. Mark Lisanti is the editor of Defamer, which is online at defamer.com. Mark, I enjoy the evil. I want you to know that I wasn't setting out to offend you right out of the gate.
I've been called worse.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, give us some gossip. Who called you what and why?
Actually, it's not that bad.
All right.
I was trying to cover up for being offended.
No, you weren't offended. Come
on. Of course not.
So, I'm reading the site, and I enjoy the site, and I love, you've got something on there with Joe Rogan and some kid. Where did that come from?
That was absolutely nuts. You know, that's something that Joe Rogan actually posted on his MySpace page.
Joe Rogan is the host of Fear Factor. I've known him since he started doing comedy back when he was like 19 years old. He was a professional kickboxer. He had an arrogant attitude then. He had a sort of maybe I shouldn't ask it on the air, but he had this arrogance and this he was so sure of himself, man. And I personally, I don't. I don't love the guy, and certainly I don't mind seeing this happen because I've been in the same situation. But he got into a blog fight, right?
Yeah, somebody wrote to his MySpace page, to his blog, just to say, "Hi, Joe Rogan, I don't think you're funny."
Yeah.
And then that kind of launched into what looked like a 20-message back and forth between him and this fan. The fan probably didn't expect that Joe was going to write him back.
You see,
and unload on the guy.
But the funny thing is about it is that it makes Joe Rogan, it reveals so much about that guy. All of his insecurities, anything he was trying to do in that interaction, is lost because the kid won. I think the kid won. And it's hilarious because I've been in that same situation where you're going through a blog or you're going through your emails and there's always going to be people out there. They're like, "You suck. You stink." And if you're not in the right mood, some party is going to go, "Yeah, you know what? Blah, blah, blah." And you shoot it back at them. And then all of a sudden they have you. And I got into something with some listener where I was trying to defend myself and call them on, you know, that they were wrong for not liking me. And it got to the point where I finally get through this email exchange and I get an email back that says, "Stop emailing me. What's wrong with you?" Like, you know, and there, you know, I had that moment of existential realization where it's like, what is wrong with me? What the hell? I mean, I shouldn't be doing this with this guy.
That's the thing with the email, though, and with blogs where you can put it out in the public immediately. There's no cooling off period. You know, he got that email. He was pissed off. You know, he was probably in a bad mood, and he just decided he was going to nuke the kid. But the kid came back at him, and his basically his, you know, most people probably didn't read it yet, but his defense was, "How could I not be funny? I'm really rich and famous, and I had 2 TV shows in syndication," and that was the comeback to pretty much everything the kid brought up.
But you know what's interesting about Rogan is if you look at the emails and you see his act, or you know him, or you watch him publicly, is that he'll always degrade Fear Factor. He'll always act like he was above Fear Factor, and that was his bread and butter. So if you're out in public saying that the thing that you do sucks, what are you saying about yourself? I mean, you know, you couldn't be more, you know, blatantly and, you know, publicly insecure. That's what I say.
Yeah, he cries himself to sleep on a big pillow made of money.
Yeah, well, he's got to be hurting somewhere. That's what I say about those people with money. They say money can't make you happy, Jim, but I tell you, I'd like the opportunity to judge that on my own.
I agree. So, no argument there.
So let's get some behind-the-scenes Oscar stuff. Is there any dirt on Jon Stewart? Is there any panic? Is there any anything that would make Jim and I, who are slightly jealous and angry and resent him? No, you're not jealous.
I'm not jealous you or angry or resentful of Jon Stewart.
Oh, man, that's not what you're saying on the break, man.
No, I'm saying it's somebody I know, maybe.
Somebody you know named Jim Pearl?
Yeah, well, you know, Comedy Central's got these legal things, you know, suit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Legal requirements.
So what is the dirt on Stewart? You got anything?
It's not so much dirt. It just seems like there's a lot of attention on him right now because of it, and he's sort of in a win-win situation. He either goes on there and kills.
Again? Wow, that's sad.
Don't you think? Yeah. He either kills and everyone, you know, continues to worship him because he's pretty bulletproof in the media scale.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or he bombs and he goes back to The Daily Show and keeps winning Emmys. You know, it's like, I'm not the entertainment guy, I'm the political guy.
Right.
And, you know, Chris Rock was kind of like a spectacular flameout last year.
Was he?
I thought the Chris Rock stuff was mostly really good, you know, and he wasn't afraid to kind of kick some people in the ass a little bit,
yeah,
you know? I
mean, yeah, yeah.
Got Sean Penn to cry.
Yeah.
You know, that's not so bad for a host. Probably not going to see a lot of that.
I don't think Jon Stewart's going to bomb. I mean, he's very focused. He's very tight. He's going to do a fine job, and he's a funny guy.
The writers on that show are pretty brilliant, so they should be able to
absolutely
hook up some jokes about Cowboys.
He used to write for The Daily Show.
2 years, yes. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, sure, he wins Emmys, but, you know, the writers win the Emmys, too.
The unsung heroes.
Yes. The ones.
Didn't you go to the Emmys once?
Behind him on the stage.
The non-union writers, by the way.
Yeah.
Non-union writers. Right. Flagship show at Comedy Central. Non-union writers. A millionaire host. Non-union writers.
Did you go to the Emmys?
Yes, I did, but, you know, I was told by Comedy Central not to.
Oh, so you just were by yourself?
I was the only writer there.
And why were you told by the Comedy Central not to go?
I heard somebody didn't want me there.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? This is stuff that you just don't hear. Thanks for bringing this out of us, Mark. I really appreciate it. Our guest is Mark Lisanti. He's the editor of TheDefamer.com. So what is, not necessarily on the site right now, but what is the one, you know, tidbit of gossip that just made you go, yes, as of late?
You know, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Which was sort of like the gossip blogger's version of Dick Cheney shooting somebody in the face, was when Lee Tamahori, the director, got arrested on Santa Monica Boulevard trying to sell oral sex to an undercover cop while he was cross-dressing. So that's kind of like a situation that's pretty...
Now, what did he direct? Who is this guy?
He directed Die Another Day, you know, one of the James Bond movies. He directed, I think, the second Triple X movie.
Yeah.
And he is doing another movie pretty soon, actually.
About his experience of trying to sell sex as a drag queen.
Somehow that's probably going to come up now. But
you know, I find it very satisfying. And it's weird because people are ashamed to admit it. I find gossip very satisfying. But, you know, whenever I've engaged in it or gotten busted on it, I feel awful for what I did.
You probably should. I mean, it's a huge waste of your time and your mental energy, but it's still fun to deal with. Yeah, it's junk food, you know?
Yeah, but it's
like junk food. Yeah.
But you don't think it's evil in any way, even if people get hurt? Like, have you ever made somebody cry with your column?
God, I wouldn't know, but I hope not.
I would tag with Conan O'Brien, and I used to do this joke making fun of... I used Adam Sandler as a reference in a joke to characterize people that liked him as being infantile idiots. And I did it on Conan. It was a perfectly funny joke. I can't remember exactly how it went. But he came up to me at the improv, and he said, well, I hear you're saying some pretty bad stuff about me. And I'm like, yeah, I said on TV. And he goes, why are you doing that? And I'm like, it's a joke, man. And in my head, the way I rationalize it is, this guy's a pop culture icon. Everybody knows who he is. It should be fair game, and he should be able to rise above it. But there's feelings behind those pop culture icons.
It's true. As we know, they still do have feelings.
Oh. You
know,
and lawyers.
Yeah. So now, the Arianna
Those
Huffington.
Are the ones who really cry.
Yeah. Lawyers. Lawyers, you know what? I have a contempt for lawyers, for most lawyers, because I believe in my heart. Yeah. I believe that a lot of them are creative, charismatic people that just didn't have the courage to pursue their dreams, so they're going to make everyone pay for it. That's my belief about lawyers. Arianna Huffington threw you a party. Why is that?
She's now pals with my boss, who owns this company, Gawker Media.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of blogs, and he threw her a party in New York for her blog for Huffington Post.
Okay.
She said at the time, you know, probably with a little bit of champagne, no, I'll throw you a party for Defamer out in L.A. And, you know, like 2 days later, the email started, and she did it.
So isn't that interesting?
It's weird.
that's a strange bedfellow thing, because she used to do that thing with Frank and the Strange Bedfellows back when she was a conservative, and now that she has this, you know, this powerful liberal blog world, but when behind the scenes it's just sort of like, oh, the gossip blogs is kind of the same thing. We're all friends. Let's have a party.
Yeah. But we just don't have celebrities writing on ours. She gets some high-powered pals.
Where do you get your sources primarily? Who do you find that, do you have secret sources?
They're all fairly secret and mostly anonymous, but they're people on assistant desks around town.
Yeah.
They hear things. You know, they're the ones who are sitting on every important phone call in town. You know, every time an agent talks to somebody, there's two assistants on the line listening in. They hear a lot of stuff, so they're usually willing to pass it on because they're mostly treated like crap.
Yeah.
You know, and they like to cause a little trouble, and they get it out to me, and they hope that I'll put it out there so everybody can see it.
Let me just say one thing real quick. Jason, don't ever do that, please. Don't ever say, you know, what goes on, you know, what I was saying about everybody on the break. I'll do anything. But look, I thank you for being here. Were you looking for a house? Where are you looking for a house?
Looking for a house?
Yeah. Someone told me you're looking for a house.
Oh, really? Yeah. Kind of am. East side.
Okay,
east
we'll side. Talk about it in a second. Our guest has been Mark Wasante, editor of Defamer.com. Go there and be satisfied with the gossip. We're going to be back. Andy Kinwer's going to be here. We got Lawton Smalls. You're listening to Progressive Talk, AM 1150, 877.
And now he takes a sad song and makes it better. Mark Maron.
That's right. Thank you, Jim. 24 past. We got Mark Wasante in here from Defamer.com, and I just brought something up that made him freak out. I got word, someone gossiped to me about his search for a house with his girlfriend. So how serious are you with this girl that you're going to buy a house with?
She's listening, so very.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Very good. Diplomatic. That's good. So now here's the big question. Here's the big question. Now, you're both going to be on the ownership thing?
That is the plan.
Oh, so this is very serious. All right, so you're looking over there in the Silver Lake area.
Yeah, Silver Lake Echo Park.
Yeah, come a little east, man. Come over. Come to where the new folks are living over in the Highland Park, Eagle Rock area.
I'm so much more comfortable where it's gentrified and yuppie, you know.
Well, I mean, if you go into Eagle Rock, it's sort of like that.
That's pretty good.
And what are you afraid to live in the hills of the barrio? Come on, man. That's come up to my neighborhood, man. And you can just, you know, it's actually pretty cool. So you're looking for an old house, and I can tell you this right off the bat that it's going to be nothing but problems. So have a great time, and you're, it's never going to be done, and everything you want to happen will take years to happen.
Great.
Yeah, have a good time, and thanks for being on our show. Let's do this right now. After the bombing of a Shiite mosque last week, there's been a wave of internal violence throughout Iraq, and now with more on this story is our foreign correspondent, Angus McFarker, reporting from Baghdad. Hello, Angus. How are the conditions there right now?
Hello, Mark, you wanker. Good to hear your voice. So, you're in Los Angeles now.
That's right.
Oh, well played, Mark. Vintage rioting town, L.A. 1992. Brilliant. Maximum violence.
All right. Stop that. Lovely. Now, so you're in Baghdad, Angus. So what's happening in Baghdad right now?
Oh, Mark, I am stoked for this one. This is the big one. Sunni versus Shiite. Godzilla versus Gamera. The old grudge match. I thought we'd have to wait around for this one. But here it is. It's like Christmas, only with Muslims and violence.
So wait, you're expecting a lot more violence.
Oh, yes, it'll be much worse than Donald Trump versus Martha Stewart. There's no violence like religious violence, Mark. Once it's Allah versus Allah, you'll be peeing blood tomorrow. I promise you that.
Now, wait, do you think the Americans will be able to step in and stop this somehow, Angus?
Oh, the Americans. The Yanks couldn't wrestle a French tickler onto the tip of their own tuggers. That's why they're called Yanks. Always pulling at themselves.
Wait, do you think the recent rioting over the anti-Muslim cartoons has had any effect on the situation in Iraq?
Well, I don't know, Mark, but I will say this. I respect the people that will riot over a cartoon. Take no crap. That's always my motto. Oh, you think this cartoon's funny? Do you, Jim, Mark? Well, I'll show you something funny you like it. Whoosh! Fire! Damage! Oh, genius! I love these people.
All right. So, Angus, what's happening over there now?
Well, not much at the moment, but watch this. Some gay is creeping up to a car. Oi, Aziz, are you going to burn that car, or are you going to stick your trigger in it?
Angus,
come on, we've
talked about this. Don't encourage demonstrators to burn things, Angus.
Come on, son, come on.
Oh,
that's
man.
Right. That, like it? Like it?
No.
Yes! Burn, you bastard! Burn!
God, you haven't changed at all. Angus, just be careful, will you?
You watch it, Mark. I'm not the one facing road rage on the 405 every day. Oh, wait, they're going after another one. Here it goes.
Wow, that last one sounded close, man. That sounded close. I think Angus might be scarred from that last one. So, Mark Lozanti, thank you for all you do for the good of the people. And it's weird, I spend a lot of time thinking about, how the world is ending and what problems I have and whether I'm going to die. So I rarely get on blogs and stuff, and I had a great time on yours. It's thedefamer.com. Mark Lozanti has been our guest. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Coming up, folks, Andy Kinwer is going to be here, and I can't wait to see him. I cannot wait to see Andy Kinwer. I saw him the other night. We were on the same show over at the UCB, the Upright Citizen Brigade Theater on Franklin. Hilarious. I literally buckled over with laughter. Also, Lawton Smalls is going to be, I think we're going to call him, or he's going to call in here. I guess we got to figure that out. And then we got Johnny K Street. And, by the way, folks, it's 29 past the hour right now. Tomorrow, Patton Oswalt's going to be coming by. And listen, I see the blog. Maria Bamford did a couple of our test shows. She's hilarious, and she will be back on our show here when she gets back from Australia, where she's touring for like 4 weeks. So there's that. As I said before, 29 past the hour. Stick around.
Have you ever smuggled drugs in your puppy's stomach? Well, neither has Mark. Now he's got legs. Mark Maron.
Oh, yes, I do. It is Mark Maron's show, and I am Mark Maron. I'm never going to say that again. How stupid did that sound? You listen to the Mark Maron show, and I'm Mark Maron. How stupid does that sound? It's ridiculous. It's Progressive Talk, AM 1150. It's about 35 past the hour here. How come you're not calling me? It's not political enough? Come on, Andy Kinwer is about to talk. 877-520-1150 if you want to talk to Andy Kinwer. Andy Kinwer's hilarious. He's hilarious.
You know he's going to be hilarious because he's got flashcards.
Flashcards?
Yeah, I brought everything with me. I brought my cards. I brought a Rolodex.
Just
in
case.
I'm doing prop comedy.
Yeah.
I've got a notebook.
You got names?
I've got Avery labels in case somebody needs to label a bit.
Do you have Post-its?
both sits. But I'm hoping you guys will set me up for my bits. That's what I'm hoping.
I'm going to throw you a bit. I'll
because
throw
I got a rain. It's going to rain later tonight. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Freeways, I don't think so. I have that whole chunk.
Hey, I heard driving. You drove over here.
You know what?
Yeah.
What is the deal with the on-ramps? It's more like get on before the getting's good ramp.
Oh, that's hilarious.
What it should be called.
That's terrific. Boy, you've got these bits worked out.
Yeah.
You like me, though. I got to have everything I've ever written with me at all times.
Yeah, I know. I have no memory. I mean, I have a good memory for certain things.
Yeah.
Like a fine wine, a lady.
Yeah. Do you smell cat pee? I think my cat peed on my stuff. I mean, it's sort of an ongoing theme with me tonight. I'm just asking.
I told you I was going to do a dogs and cats chunk.
I'm trying to throw it to you. I'm trying to throw it to you here.
Why do you never see a dog say anything?
That's hilarious. I'm telling you, no one's going to be disappointed with you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, I wish I had something to plug all of a sudden or a shirt to sell.
Well, here, let's see what you've done. You've seen him on David Letterman, The Daily Show, and Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, I used to be on The Daily Show years ago. Whatever happened to that gig?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that gig. Back in the old days?
They let me go.
That was before Jon Stewart.
I think I was there with Jon Stewart. No, I was there with Jon Stewart. What am I thinking? Am I pretending like I don't remember? You know what? Now that I think about it, it's embedded in my memory. It was just Jon Stewart, but they let me go.
Why did they let you go? What the hell happened
there?
They
said, you're in L.A., and we're in New York, and
it's slow. It takes a long time.
There's no way. We can't. They don't have the technology to get something from L.A. to New York.
Because you got a FedEx videotapes. It's terrible. We can't do that.
No, it was fun while it lasted, though. I was TV guy there on that show.
Uh-huh.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
So, Andy.
It's bad when you have to jog someone's memory that much.
How long have we been doing this? Because we just had this conversation on the break there. I was saying, is that guy still alive? Monty Hoffman, is he still alive? And he asked people if he's still alive. I remember when it was just based in resentment that you'd ask questions of people. It's like, that guy got that? How the hell did he get that?
Yeah.
You know, just bitterness. And now it's like, oh, I'm glad he's still alive.
I used to say, who books that just all day long? Who books that? Wherever it was.
Would you go on the road? Do you got any good stories? Did anything bad happen?
The stories are so hideous, but they're so like mundane hideous. Like I went once to a gig in Salt Lake City, and they put me up in this place, and I literally couldn't fall asleep because it was so horribly dirty. And then I asked them, "Well, what's your room budget?" They go, "We like to keep it like to $12 a night." $12 a night. And then we negotiated, and they put me in the Travelodge downtown, and that was, I'm not kidding around, although a lot of times I am kidding and no one can sense it, but $25 a night, and we split the difference. I went to $7, they went to $7.
God forbid you throw in a 50.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, that people would have that, it's just, I always love the things that club owners would do when to save money, like in the 90s when the club started to, die, the boom started dying, thank God, a lot of the clubs were cutting back on the comedy. maybe we have too many comics. We should have less comics. A restaurant saying, maybe the food is where we should start to make tremendous cuts.
Can I ask you a question? How many times did you hear this when you show up at a club to do a week where they look at you and the first thing the guy says is like, I don't get this. Last week it was packed. Last week was packed.
Exactly.
What week was that? Was that 1982? Every club I've ever done in my life, this is weird. It was packed last week.
Right. Yeah, I've closed many clubs.
You were the last guy?
Three or four clubs. I went there, and then the next week you found out they'd closed down.
But it's strange, you don't seem bitter to me, and I don't know if it's just
not bitter. Because I'm on OxyContin. No. That's the only thing I agree with Rush Limbaugh about, by the way.
Yeah.
That stuff is fantastic. That's a sweet ride. Who's with me? Ladies?
I'm sure they are.
The dogs love the OxyContin.
877-520-1150. Andy Kinler's our guest. He's going to be doing political commentary lately. Dick Cheney, huh?
Wait a second. No, I do have some good. There's Dick Cheney. I hope that this whole thing that happened with the shooting his friend won't sour him on torture. Or the alternate punchline is, I hope this won't interfere with his torture responsibilities.
That's good.
I hope it doesn't affect his torture.
I'm glad you gave us both options. That made me very happy.
Which is better, do you like? Which would you prefer?
I'm trying
it out here, and then I'm going to take it to the Likas show.
1-800-5800-TOM. I think the first one was better. So I was watching the other night, and I actually own a copy of the film Downfall. Downfall.
That's fantastic.
What was your theory on Downfall?
The whole idea is it's Hitler in the bunker in the
yeah,
in the
yeah, yeah.
days.
Yeah.
And that it could never be made in Hollywood because
right.
they would be like, it's so depressing with Hitler dying. Does he have to die at the end? Can we leave it open? Well, it's Hitler. Yeah. Well, why don't we show him when things were going well for him? Like, you know, when he just went into Poland and before he started with the Russians, why don't we do that? Like, they would know this. People would be commenting. They would know this much history. But it's Hitler. You want to show him doing well? I'm not making a value judgment. I'm just saying it's a better movie if it's Hitler at the top. But then the thing was, if I was going to write the script for the movie,
mm-hmm.
not that anybody would ask me,
mm-hmm.
like it didn't need to be punched up.
Yeah.
But I would have put one line where someone comes from Hitler's bunker
mm-hmm.
and comes back and goes, I was just at Hitler's bunker. I think he's starting to lose it.
He's not looking good.
I was just over at Hitler's bunker. I think he's acting strange.
Does anyone know?
He seems upset. Hitler's bunker.
What was your theory?
He's angry.
What was your theory about Jews and Hitler?
Well, we're fascinated. I mean, if you want to distract a Jew,
yeah.
or you want to rob a Jew's house,
yeah.
you call cold call him
yeah.
and tell him there's a Hitler film festival right down the block at the Man's Criterion all day long. Boom, you'll see them get in the car. They'll drive up because we're fascinated. We are repulsed and yet fascinated and drawn to seeing every piece of footage of Hitler. And it still amazes me that no matter how depressed that country was, Germany, that they would have seen that as the way out.
Like
you always said, did you see the guy who's inappropriately angry? Have you heard him talk?
The screaming guy is terrific.
The screaming guy?
He's terrific.
Who looks crazy?
And he has a Chaplin mustache.
Yeah, he's funny, and he's...
And he wears uniforms, and he's got this weird symbol.
And he blames one group. It's very... He simplified everything.
Well, I think there's a similar charm that this president has over some people, though that number is dwindling. I think that he's not angry, but people are somehow charmed by the idea of this tough love crap that this guy does.
Does he do that really? What does he do? What I mean,
right now he's completely powerless. But I can't understand. There are some people that find him charming, and some people that find him
I can't get
buddy.
Because he comes up with nicknames for. He calls a tall guy Stretch, and he calls a person laughs giggly or
yeah,
what's
yeah,
the?
Yeah.
They always go. You
and of course, he would call you Jew.
Now that would be charming because
yeah.
I would see him as a neo-con Rickles.
Yeah,
type.
Yeah. Hey, look at the Jews here.
The Jews here.
Yeah. Bring me the Jew.
What did I say? Look around. What did I say?
What was that?
Jew laughing, as Rickle would say?
Bring in the Jew. He's charming. That's a Lenny Bruce bit about Egypt.
Oh, yeah. He would say the reason why black people became entertainers and Jews became entertainers was when they were slaves, they would entertain. Like a Jewish person, put down that hoe and be charming.
Yeah, be charming. Look at the Jewy charming.
Black guy, put down that hoe and start singing.
He's funny.
Yeah.
That Lenny Bruce is a funny fellow. I hope it goes well for him. Is he still alive?
You know
Bruce?
What? I'm saying he's the one to watch.
Yeah. So the Oscars, do you care?
I do care.
Yeah.
I do care deeply.
Yeah? Oh, okay.
Not that deeply, but yeah. I know I liked the Philip Seymour Hoffman was fantastic.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
But, you know, I just, if Jim Carrey doesn't get the Oscar, I don't see how my life can be complete.
Yes, again.
Because you know he wants it more than anything else in the world. He wants that Oscar.
I used to like watching the Oscars just to watch Tom Cruise lose, you know, because he was nominated a couple times.
Yeah, he won, didn't he, for something?
Did he, like, Born on the 4th of July? No, I don't think he ever did win.
Yeah.
He was nominated, but he never loses.
Well, I think over the years, he's really come across as a more and more charming guy that you really want to get to know.
So where are you going now? What's going on? Where are you at? You're not really a wrestler, were you?
No, I'm actually going on the road. Can you believe that? For one brief week.
Yeah.
I'm going to Ann Arbor.
That's one. That's a good comedy club.
I heard it's great. I've never been there before.
I had a weird thing happen there years ago, and I don't think the same guy even books it. It was a very awkward thing. I worked there. I did great. I had a great week. We had a good time. And then it comes to payday, and the guy who owned the place, he's gone. He's not there. I'm like, what do you mean he's gone? Yeah, he owes me money. It's like, well, I don't know where the check is. He's gone. I'm not sure what's happening. But his girlfriend was there, and I'm like, I need my money. I can't leave without the money. And she goes, we'll send it to you. And I'm like, that's not going to happen. Right? So then I go to the hotel, and his girlfriend shows up with cash, and she's in my room. She's like, here's your money. And it just got very awkward and uncomfortable. And I don't know how that translated later. Like, what were you doing in his room? Yeah, I don't know. You never know what the hell happens. It's completely out of your hands, but I got the money, and I never went back.
I think being paid is always the strangest thing in the world, because I think it always was like you got paid after the gig, and it should be cash, because you're worried or whatever, and it never seems right.
So
count it.
When you're counting in front of somebody?
Yeah, and they ask you to count it.
Yeah.
Count it.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're like, no, it's not all here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awkward. I once got paid in a club in front of, like, the guy gave me the money at the bar, and there was this moment where I saw two guys at the end of the bar, like, you know, put down half-filled beers as I was walking out with the money, and I was with my first wife at the time, and I'm like, just listen to me. When we get out the door, we're running to the car, because they were going to roll me. The guys were going to roll me. And I was so proud of myself that I was able to do the investigation work. You know, like, I noticed, like, hey, they didn't finish their beers, and they just saw me got handed a grand, then they're coming after me.
That's pretty self-aware for most comics. Are like, we
completely self-involved.
Just walk outside going, hey! I like a glass of lemonade with my new pay. The dollar bill's flying.
You know what's funny is that, my producer, Brendan McDonald, he comes in, he was looking at your IMDb page, and he's a wrestling freak, and he goes, was he really a World Wrestling Federation guy? Is he, this guy,
you know what the deal is, right? What? There's a guy, his name is Andy Kindler, and he was an actor.
Yeah.
And he is an actor, I guess. He's a professional wrestling guy. Right. I've never seen him.
Right.
But because he never was with Screen Actors Guild. He never registered the name as Andy Kindler. So
right.
when I went along, I became Andy Kindler, and then they put us all together for a while. And it's very sad when you have the kind of career where you're emailing IMDb. It's not like a... it's not like a fan!
You've got to go... did you go... The guy from The Defamer was just here. You got to go... Did you see that Joe Rogan thing?
No, what happened there? What's
oh,
there?
You got to go to the defamer.com. He's got this this back and forth email thing with some guy, some 20-year-old kid, a college student, wrote Joe Rogan and said, you're not funny, you suck. And Joe Rogan got in this thing like, who the hell are you? You're a loser. I make millions of dollars. But it is so revealing at what an idiot that guy is in terms of his reaction to this guy that just said you suck.
He's a Taekwondo expert, though.
No, I know. I've known him for years.
I don't want to.
It was just, you don't want to.
I'm very scared.
Who will you say bad
very
stuff?
Frightened. Sandler. I'll go away after Sandler.
I did once, and he came up to me.
I heard about that. I heard about that. But, you know, Sandler, the thing is, like, he's very sensitive. These guys get very sensitive.
I'm very sensitive.
And my thing is, like, with, like, Sandler's movies, like, it's not our fault. We're not making the bad movies. Why is he getting so?
Why is he crying?
It'd be one thing if we were making his horrible movies.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's made. And, you know, I'll go after Robin Williams. I'll go after him.
Everybody goes after him.
Okay, well, how about Dennis Miller?
Go after that guy.
Talk about torture.
What about, you know, it's weird. I was thinking about Downfall. And the one thing I didn't bring up because I noticed this when I watched it for the seventh time.
Yeah.
It's probably the only movie you'll ever see where you actually find yourself going, oh, poor Hitler.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it kind of humanized. The idea was that it was kind of, in Germany they were worried about it because it humanized Hitler, but Hitler was, you know, he was a human. You had to see him not as some alien crawling around.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was probably not a lot of clowning around on that set.
Bruno Ganz.
But you can't be German and clown around in a Hitler uniform.
So
it's going to get back to... Someone's going to find out about it.
Let's talk about the Chevy Chase roast for a minute. Don't get nervous.
This was the worst.
Do you remember me? Do you remember me being there?
Well, I remember a lot. I remember flying with you first class. We didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
And they gave me nervous the whole... Nervous. What do we got? Two coming down to the weight? I've never seen more signals from third base coaches than
they had on
radio.
Did you get a coach bag? Did they give you a free coach bag?
I don't know, but I'm supposed to slide into the commercial. Yeah. Am I right, people?
Yeah. The cat peed in my coach bag that they gave me for the Chevy Chase for us. So we're Andy Kindler.
But I do have a Lisa Lappin, unless I'm done. But I have
Lisa Lappin. Come back. Well, you'll come back. You know, it's like no one's listening. It's 50 past the hour. No, it's not. It's Progressive Talk.
People are listening, aren't they?
AM 1150, huh?
People are listening.
Of course they are, Andy. Don't get insecure.
Bad cat came to play. Now you can't run fast enough.
Back to a man who needs $70 billion more for his war on mildew. Mark Maron.
Wow. 54 past the hour. You're listening to Progressive Talk, AM 1150. You can go to markmaron.com. That's markmaron.com. And get involved. Get involved with the people over there. Get involved with Gypsy. Get involved with the people that are giving me advice about how I can make the cat pee smell going away. Get involved with them. They're good folks over there. These people have been with us for years now, the people on this in this blog community at markmaron.com.
You know what you never hear?
What?
Dogs saying, hey, do I smell like human pee?
Are you kidding? You just have to understand dogs.
He's tagging my bit.
I'm tagging. I'm tagging and punching his bit.
Oh, my God. All right. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to spoil the fun.
Welcome to the comedy gym.
It's 877-520-1150. Come on. Be the first caller tonight, and you can meet Andy Kindler. Hey, Andy, So the Chevy Chase roast, one of the worst nights of my life. Although I made the cut and I had a couple of good jokes, to me it was the most painful night I've ever had in show business, and I cried that night. I cried in my hotel room.
Well, we were on the first. We were flying first class again, not on our dime, and you were already agonizing about the thing. You're like, this isn't going to go well. How could this go well? This is not going to. He doesn't know who we are. He doesn't care who we are. So we go there. He didn't know who we are. He didn't care who we were. He was taking notes while I was. I went on 6 hours. The thing started. People started eating literally at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
I went on. There was the last Comic Con near midnight.
Yeah.
It was the only gig I've ever done that was in danger of going into a second day. Right?
Yeah.
And I followed Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah.
Who was like this insult comic. She's doing Christopher Reeve jokes.
Yeah.
I saw she had a Comedy Central special, right?
Yeah.
And she's like makes fun of. I think she thinks she's Rickles.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I'm not saying this to be shocking. She calls someone in the audience. She goes, "Well, I got a freaking spick here." She says, "Freaking spick."
Yeah.
Freaking. In other words, she's okay with spick, but with Zola, she's afraid to insult elderly racists.
Yeah.
Is that the look? We loved your Puerto Rican material, but why would you go blue?
Yeah. Why?
There's no reason to go blue.
Well, that was weird because everybody was tanking one after the other. You can go to markmaron.com right now. You can see a picture of Andy Kinwer and Andy Kinwer, the wrestler. Literally, we found this on the website, on a wrestling website, and there's a character that's name is Andy Kinwer, Andy Kinwer here was talking about, and literally we put the picture up, and Andy was looking at it and goes, "Is that me? It might be me.
Could be me. Because I'm known kind of like a Robert De Niro type. I changed. You know, I put on weight. Not for parts, but I put on weight.
Yeah.
And then, I'm sort of like chameleon-like.
Oh, God, that Chevy Chase roast was awful.
It was just terrible. He hated everybody.
He didn't play along with anybody.
He hated all
Even
of us.
Franken. Franken
he was
up
angry at Franken on that.
And then you get up there.
Franken was hilarious.
I was number 3 on that damn roster, on the whatever you call it. And I just watched 3 of my jokes go away in the first 5 minutes of the
right.
thing. Because when you do roast, it's like, oh, there goes that one. Now I can't do that.
Yeah.
And I made the bad choice of trying to go ahead and do the joke anyways, even though the thing had been burned. I said, what the hell am I going to do it? Because I've only got 5 or 6 jokes, and it didn't do well. And then I acknowledged my failing. I acknowledged that I was not doing well. That got a big laugh, and it broke the ice for me. And in the New York Observer, Freddie Roman criticized me for saying, you should never acknowledge your failure.
Get out of here.
I'm serious.
Get out. You shouldn't have self-deprecation in
That's
comedy.
That's right.
Call Woody Allen.
Say, Andy.
Why are you criticizing yourself?
Andy,
Woody?
Thanks for coming. Are you ready to go?
I am ready to go. I'm ready to go, first of all, because I'm being...
AndyKiller.com, is that what it is?
Yeah, AndyKiller.com. I also have a mailing list, but not one...
Live from Burbank, California, we built this city on rock and roll. It's the Marc Maron Show. And now he's yelling, and that is why he is not yelling. Marc Maron!
Oh, that's right. Give them a little more air time. 6 past the hour. I am Marc Maron. You're listening to Progressive Talk, AM 1150. You can go to markmaron.com. That's M-A-R-C. Damn, what a curse that is. M-A-R-C. You know, I got people that have known me for years. I got people that... I get checks. I get checks from Air America that say M-A-R-K-M-A-R-I-N. M-A-R-K-M-O-R-O-N. Moron, that's funny. M-A-R-C. What the hell do you think...
I just got that.
Yeah. Marinated. That's another one. That was funny. That was something. Marinated. Hey, marinated man.
Yeah.
Hey, moron. But M-A-R-C, is that so weird? M-A-R-C, M-A-R-O-N. 877-520-1150. This is where it all starts to happen, people. I don't know, man. I got some articles sitting here in front of me. I got some things to talk about. We talked about that tape yesterday, about the FEMA briefing, about how just heinous. You know, the weird thing is, I heard talk on this station today, earlier on another show, and I'm not going to be critical of this guy. He's filling in for Ed Schultz, J. Marvin, not bad. But he was talking today, and this talk has come up before. There was talk on the station on his show about George Bush being sick, all right, that he's psychologically sick. And it bothers me because even if that is the case, George Bush should not be seen as a victim of anything. We can, not even if we're if you're playing good liberal and you're being concerned in any way. George Bush is not a victim of everything. I had this conversation with Jason, the Jew from Wisconsin, who's working the knobs just across the table from me here, who said that there was some concern about Air America and about progressive talk, and well, it just it wasn't even a. It was he used the word Bush bashing. So we had this conversation. Now you can't Bush bashing that they appropriated language that was used to describe a assault on gay people. That's where bashing comes from, and apply it to this president to make him look something less than responsible or something like a victim. Now, beyond any personal problems George Bush may suffer from, like drug addiction, megalomania, narcissism, exercise, anorexia, George Bush is a fraud. He is an insecure man of privilege who possessed enough charm, charisma, religious fanaticism to be used as a frontman slash distraction by a cabal of opportunistic greed demons of which he is a scion. He is and always has been over his head. He is the idiot son of the Illuminati, my friend. How's that for a little weirdness for late at night? He's an empty vessel, a hologram, a broken pull-string doll that keeps repeating the same talking points. It is a farce that he is president. And we know this, but in no way is this guy a sympathetic character. He cannot be dismissed of responsibility. He has to own all of this crap. All these guys do is disperse blame. They keep pushing it out, pushing it out, pushing it out. That's the way corporations work. I've worked for one. And I don't think that there is any reason to not, even if Cheney's running the country, I don't care who's running the country. It's just a bunch of middle management political hacks and corrupt legislators just guaranteeing a momentum of greed and opportunism. And that does not dismiss this guy. Even if he doesn't know what the hell's going on, it's his watch all this crap is happening on. You know what I'm saying, Jim?
You were talking about Downfall.
Yeah.
And how, you know.
The Hitler movie.
The Hitler movie. How, you know, you can have. It has a kind of a sympathetic, you know, note to it towards this character, Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, everybody's human. Bush is human, too. But I don't feel sympathetic for this guy because he has psychological problems, if that's your angle on that. I think you can have psychological problems and be completely responsible for your actions and be a nutcase, evil nutcase.
Yeah.
And
somebody says we're wrong. Frank in L.A., what's on your mind?
Hey, man, I just got to tell you something, man. I'm so sick and tired of your BS and your crap. You're totally wrong about George Bush. That man has no charm and no charisma whatsoever.
Exactly.
Right.
Good news.
Yeah, right, man.
All right, buddy.
Hey, man, I want to welcome you to L.A., man. It's such a trip hearing you on KTLK.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for calling, Frank. Welcome. Take it easy. All right.
Later.
That's hilarious. I got a little nervous. I'm like, I thought he was going to be like, you don't understand. He's the king of the world. That's true. But you know what? He doesn't have any charm or charisma, but to 18% of this country or 34% of this country, loyalists, you know, there are people down the hall right here in this building who think that this is some sort of sporting event, who thinks that the only thing that I can tell, the only reason why people could possibly still like this president is that they see politics as some sort of game.
It is to them. This whole war is a game to them. That's why every you know development in the war is described in football terms.
The bottom line is this administration, these guys are just greed demons. They are driving this momentum. There's a momentum this administration is behind that is just guaranteed to bankrupt the country. They're trying to destabilize it to the point where private business has to take over everything, and there's no justice in a corporatocracy. The neocon death cult uses this is where I get complicated, because I got this problem with the corporatocracy and the Christo-fascist zombie brigade. The religious fanatics who are used as a base, they're being exploited too by the people that run them. See, I'm getting a little complicated. See, I have this theory that like the theocratic guys, the guys who want this to who want the Constitution to be replaced by the Bible, guys like Dobson, guys like Senator Sam Brownback, that's his first name, Sam Brownback out of Kansas, they want to force restrictive morality on our culture, okay? Because of course they want to outlaw abortion and gay marriage. I mean, these Christo-fascist leaders need a constant influx of lost, unwanted people to guarantee their livelihood and power. And the corporatocracy needs these same lost and unwanted people to feed the military-industrial complex. They need it to fight wars, to fill prisons, to get into debt by buying crap they don't need.
It's all about money, not theology or philosophy or anything else. It's about money.
But the sad thing is that they exploit people. The people's lives and their desires are just cold for this engine of greed, man. And they just tease them by dangling dreams in front of them, and they run around and around this track. And you know, why can't I stick to jokes? I get off on this stuff because I try to broad stroke things. I could talk about specifics in the news, but the bottom line is, it's never been clearer to me that this guy's approval rate should be at like 2. It should just be his family.
It doesn't even matter if it were negative 38. He's still, nobody would do anything about it. I mean, you know, nobody is calling for impeachment. These are impeachable.
Yes, they
offenses.
Are. Yeah, Sam Cedar's calling for impeachment. He's got a few people he's going to meet. There's
Sam Cedar?
Yeah, but what do you got in front of you there? What's bugging you right now?
I'm talking about, well, you know Schwarzenegger, you know who he is.
He's a governor.
He's our appointed governor. Yeah. He just declared a state of emergency Friday for the Sacramento River Delta.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. You know, this is an important issue to your heart. You're the guy who told me that there should be an environmental section of the newspaper, and I think that's a great idea.
Every day there is some environmental tragedy happens, and nobody reports on it.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of them. Now, he wants to strengthen all the levees so we don't have another disaster like in New Orleans, which is kind of reasonable.
Yeah.
But it's not going to matter. It really isn't going to matter. I mean, corporations and developers want to build upwards of 500,000 to 600,000 homes in the Sacramento River Delta, and they're not going to be stopped. And they're privately going to build their own levees, which they say will be stronger than the 100-year-old levees that are there now. And Sacramento, the River Delta, is under like 6 to 10 feet below sea level.
So this private housing company is going to build their own level around their own levees around a gated community.
Companies are going to do that themselves.
Okay. All right.
And Schwarzenegger wants Bush to declare it a disaster area or whatever so he can get federal money for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an environmental disaster, and it's not going to help. It's not going to do anything for the 200-year flood that comes around, which is going to be worse than in New Orleans, because you're going to have many more people die or be flooded out in the River Delta area.
But see, this is a great point you bring up, because they don't care. The short-sightedness of developers, the short-sightedness of people who want to make money at any cost, they just don't care.
And this isn't just poor people. We're not talking about poor people who cannot move from where they are. These are going to be $800,000 homes in there.
So people who don't think they're poor and have a lot of good credit.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Justin is calling from New Jersey. I don't know how. Justin, what's going on, Justin?
Hey, how you doing,
Mark? How are you calling me from New Jersey, man?
See, it's weird. I was listening to the Stephanie Miller show, and she said to dial 1-800-STEP-12, and then after I dialed it, our screener picked up.
Wow! I think we just found out a way in. I'm going to feel kind of
like
weird saying you could call us at 1-800-STEP. What is it?
12.
Let's try it. Hey, if you're blogging right now, call us at 1-800-STEP-12. And, Stephanie Miller's show is going to be on in a few hours. Maybe she won't mind if we just, hop on board of her line there. So let's give that a try, and maybe we can, talk to some of the people that are listening to us around the world. 1-800-STEP-12. Wow, let's see if that works. And say hi to Paul, the gentle giant who's answering the phones, and be nice to him. So what's on your mind there, Justin?
Well, I got to tell you, Mark, earlier this evening, I was arrested by Homeland Security agents.
Really?
Yes.
Where at?
I was out in a shopping center. I had just printed up some flyers, and I was posting them in store windows. The essence of the flyer was to sound an alarm bell, sort of as Paul Revere marching through the street screaming the British are coming. But my alarm bell is that the Carlyle Group is going to detonate an atomic bomb in Manhattan.
Wow. Okay, all right. So you're up late, and you're telling me that you were posting a flyer that said the Carlyle Group is going to intentionally detonate an atomic bomb in Manhattan because Bush's approval ratings are so low that he can't manufacture the fear in any other way, so they're going to stage an event to guarantee world domination because the Carlyle Group is affiliated with the New World Order and they are the occupying power, right?
I think you expressed it pretty succinctly, except to the key piece of information that led me to conclude this in, with no doubt,
yeah,
is the recent occurrence of the sale of the port management to the Dubai-owned company and their ties to the Carlyle Group.
Okay, so now let me understand where exactly your head is at. Do you believe that the entire terrorist threat, that Al-Qaeda's alignment with the United Arab Emirates is all part and parcel for the course, that they actually control Al-Qaeda, that they might possibly be holding bin Laden and using him as a political tool?
I wouldn't be completely shocked, but
agree with me.
Right. Like, I wouldn't, I don't feel completely certain that that's exactly what's happening.
Well, I think it would be hard to be completely certain, but I'm just speculating with you. But so what happened? So you're arrested, and where'd they take you? Did they take you to Pakistan?
Nah, yeah, they stuck me in a holding cell in the local police station there in Edgewater, New Jersey, for about 7 hours, and it was freezing cold, too.
I think my old partner Riley lives there, doesn't he? Doesn't Riley live in Edgewater?
In the holding cell?
No? Oh, no, he lives somewhere else. Oh, wow, the calls are coming in. That's hilarious. Well, all right.
See, my flyer didn't end with the idea of the atomic bomb. Actually, it goes on to say that God begs all Jews to escape now and move to Texas. It is your calling to save American democracy. And this is a bit from a dream that I had recently.
Hey, Justin, are you sure they didn't arrest you for your own safety?
Yeah, they were telling me they think I'm a little nutty.
Well, I appreciate you calling, and we got to get going. So
just really quickly explain what I mean by the.
No, you can't. I'm sorry. Call me another time. Thanks for calling, Justin. Look, we're gonna take a break here. It's nice. It's coming up on 20 past the hour. We got a few calls lined up. We'll be back. Lawton Smalls is gonna be calling. You're listening to Progressive Talk AM 1150.
To a man obsessed with Marion Davies' clitoris, Mark Maron.
Wow, good reference. 24 past the hour. Thank you, Jim Earle. 877-520-1150 if you're near Los Angeles area. Look, folks, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that listeners know what's going on in his alternate universe. Luckily, folks, we have a staffer who lives in that world. So here now is our very own Planet Bush Bureau Chief, Lawton Smalls. Hello, Lawton.
Hello, Mark. God's got a pool service, and he's skimming the dead bugs off your soul.
Oh, okay.
He's
all right.
Skimming them off.
Yeah, you know what? It's good to hear your voice again, Lawton.
Thank you kindly, Mark. Hey, congratulations on your new show. Even if it is from Los Angeles, hello, I call it Tradition 90210.
Wow, that's unbelievable. 5 seconds in, and you're already taking shots at me. I've told you before, L.A. is great, Lawton. It's great.
Great. Mark, I watched the Golden Globes. L.A.'s so great, as you say. They gave Best Picture to Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Gay cowboys knocking boots in a pup tent, Mark. Pup tent. That's the kind of place you want to be associated with. Not me, mister. Get out of there.
Wait a minute. Hang on, Lawton. Before we start going at it, there's some new listeners who may not be familiar with our little discussions in the past, my friend.
Good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
I would describe our relationship as mentor-mentee.
Uh-huh.
I take you by the hand like a willful, spoiled child, and through the unswerving correctness of my arguments, drag you to the logic, the leadership, and the light of President George W. two-terms mandate Bush.
Dragging me by the hand? Oh, that's good.
You.
That's great. Spoiled child. Thanks a lot for that one. Great.
Spoiled and willful.
Uh-huh.
I speak simple truths, unadorned and elegant as Shaker furniture.
Mm.
And then you respond with knee-jerk, liberal hysteria, gay agenda spin, sarcasm, and masturbatory wisecrack.
Mm.
And generally, you have to check your talking points cheat sheet you get directly from Osama every day. You got no idea for that, folks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Osama gives me talking points. Let it out, Lawton. I know all this stuff has been building up. Come on.
Let me tell you
what.
Secretly, you always agree with me.
Oh, man.
With President George W. two-terms mandate Bush with the whole neocon agenda, but you're so caught up in your bearded, beatnik counterculture persona that you are unable to allow yourself to see the truth.
Right.
You're buried beneath a layer of masks, Mark Maron, and it's my job to strip them off one by one like an old bandit.
All right, you done, buddy, because let me tell you something, bud. Let me tell you something. I think you're a scared little man who hides behind a cruel, greedy ideology you don't really believe in to give some sort of meaning to your empty, hollow existence. I think it only takes a few facts about your boy Bush to turn you from an obnoxious bully into a pathetic, weeping blob. You're lonely, you're sad, and your side is losing now. That's right.
Don't ever leave me again.
Okay.
Don't ever leave me again.
Oh, boy. I can't breathe.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Reunited, because we
rotten. Stop singing. You got to stop singing, buddy. No singing. Come on. Please, just pull it together, buddy. Just pull it together.
I don't sleep well.
Okay, just... Oh, boy.
Two men in a tent. That's just nauseating.
Okay,
I got to cough that out.
All right. Thank you, Lon.
Who thought that was entertainment?
All right, thank you, Lon. Goodbye.
God loves you. Deal with it.
I got to say, I was happy to talk to him. Wasn't it nice to hear him, Jim?
Yeah, it's nice to hear the two of you together again.
It's wonderful. Let's talk to Mary. Mary, how are you, Mary?
I'm good, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's good to talk to you.
Hey, you know what?
What?
I have to tell you, the week that your show went off the air, I cried like a jilted lover. I felt so damn sad for so long, and hearing you on the radio this week has just made my mornings here in Sicily just so full of sunshine.
Aww.
Come to visit me.
We'll be out there soon. I'm certainly going to call you. I've got your phone number right here on the screen. Thanks for calling so much, Mary. It's great to hear you again.
Love you, baby.
Love you,
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. How nice is that? A nice call. An international call. Mm-mm-mm. So, Jim, we've got a lot of things to do here. I think we're ordering donuts. It's
really?
Coming up. Yeah, we're coming.
Referring to that last call, the guy who was arrested by Homeland Security.
Yeah.
I was arrested, too, for possession of a white powdery substance.
You were?
Turned out to be my skin.
Oh, I don't even understand that. We got Johnny K Street's going to, we got to give him a call and wake him up. So that should be interesting. I'm going to talk to you a little more. We got the Dick of the Day, of course. And I think we might talk about some astrology issues. And we can impeach Bush. There's no reason we can. They just hosted a panel. I'll talk about that in a second if I can find some information. I wish I was there because I'm going to call Sam Cedar tomorrow. We'll be back. It's 29 past.
With the stars, Mark Maron.
Yeah, that's me. 36 past the hour, you're listening to Progressive Talk AM 1150. I am Mark Maron. People are blogging at markmaron.com. That's MARCMARON.com. You can call the show at 877-520-1150 or at the secret number. Look, you know, we... the secret number, which you can find on the blog at markmaron.com. Hey, people, I'm so happy you guys are up. We're coming up. It's late, man. After these Quipper games and we're on the air, we're going into the night. We're almost back-to-back with the show I used to host. You understand?
I understand that. That's exciting.
I could probably co-host my old show with my old partner right now in an hour or so. Hey, okay, what's going on? Hill in Los Angeles, how are you? Thanks for staying up. What's going on?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Hey, buddy.
I just wanted to present some information for you to think about.
Thank God. Bring it on. Bring it on.
The overarching statement is this, and then I'll get into a couple of details. One,
you want to just come down and host the rest of the show?
No, that's really okay.
All right, Hill, what do you got?
I'm on the 405 North right now, so I'm far away.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm glad you entertained the idea. You're like, you know, I could just get up. Nah, you know what? I got to go home. Go ahead.
Okay, so basically, the overarching premise is this.
Yeah.
The executive office, I'm not even going to say Bush because he's really not in charge, but the executive office, in my estimation, hasn't made any mistakes so far. They have I mean, you can't blame them for Abu Ghraib. They committed the crimes, but they didn't release the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And everything they have done, if they had gone in the way General Shinseki wanted to go in, then...
With 300,000.
Yeah, then you would have clamped Baghdad tight, and there wouldn't be an insurgency, and they needed an insurgency for a variety of reasons. One is they needed to bring in, I believe, over 30,000 workers to put on a 21st century oil infrastructure in record time.
Okay, so what you're saying is that everything they did, they've done exactly as planned at the cost of human lives and also lying to the American people about it, only to serve their own ends and to consolidate the oil industry in that country.
It's a little more insidious than that. I mean,
as long as we're on the same page and they're yes. evil. We got a little more show to do, Hill, but I appreciate you calling. Call me again another night, all right?
Okay,
buddy. Right. I understand what he's saying. That was interesting because at the beginning of that, you're like, they did exactly what they intended to do. And I'm like, where are we going? But they're evil. Good. Okay. As long as we know they're evil. We here at the Mark Maron Show want to make positive contributions to society. So every night we bestow an honor upon one distinguished citizen whose actions most closely represent those of our esteemed vice president. And without further ado, we present the Mark Maron Show's Dick of the Day. Ralph Gomez was sitting in his presumably new Cadillac Escalade with his girlfriend down in St. Augustine, Florida. They're hanging out. They're doing some lines of blow. He's showing her the OnStar system, and apparently the volume on the OnStar system was too low for Ralphie to hear the operator. All right, now when the OnStar operator gets no response, it is OnStar protocol to send police to check out the car. So the cops show up. There doesn't seem to be any apparent problem, but they do notice the Yayo on the center console, okay? So they bust poor Ralphie on possession of narcotics and drug paraphernalia, fine him $1,900, and confiscate the Escalade. All right, now, I guess what is the comparison? The bravado, the obliviousness, the getting nabbed like a doofus, then losing everything. We can only hope that Republicans get similar treatment. Certainly they possess the same character traits as Ralph, who will not be a money funnel to launder our tax dollars to whack and hut, because he lucked out this time. I don't think he's going to prison yet. He's got to pay a fine. We'll see. And that must have been an awkward moment. I don't know where that coke came from, officer. I don't know. It was hers. It was hers. You ever been in that situation?
Never.
All right. Never. Good for you, Jim.
Wackenhut. I heard you made that Wackenhut reference there.
That's a good Wackenhut reference. It made sense. All right. Don't mock my reference, Mr. Citizen Kane.
I'm impressed.
Vagina references. All right. Joy 413. What's going on, Joy 413? What's going on?
Hey, Mark.
How are you?
You?
Oh, it's so nice that you're up.
Yeah, well, can't help it.
Hmm. So what do you got? What are you thinking?
Well, we are cooking up a cookbook.
Okay.
On your blog.
Okay. All right. I noticed that. I was looking at the blog, and you guys have decided to make a Mark Maron, a blog-related cookbook, because everyone loves the recipes.
Yeah, because there's so many good ones, and I've got a bunch that I haven't even put up. So,
oh, great, great.
So between Gypsy and I and anybody else who wants to put things up, I think, and Gypsy's suggesting that we create it and have, you know, if the people buy it, we put in a good cause.
Uh-huh.
You know, find something good, like maybe putting money towards maybe New Orleans.
That'd be a great idea, to put money towards New Orleans. I'm going down there in April to do a benefit with some people. That's a great idea.
That would be fantastic. Or fur.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go to Randy's blog, Randy Rhodes, and you can donate. She's doing a lot of good stuff with that.
Well, why don't you do a joint thing together then?
Do you know that we did the commentary on the DVD release of Left of the Dial?
No, but I got to get when I'm buying the DVD.
It's kind of funny. It's just me constantly going, Randy, don't say that. Randy, please. Oh, my God. We're in trouble. Well, thanks for calling, Joy. I really appreciate talking to you.
We all love you so much.
No, I made a white bean dip that maybe I'll throw the recipe up there for you.
Oh, we'd love to see something from you on the blog.
Okay, I'll try.
And I've got a really good white bean recipe, too.
So. Okay, so we're on the same page.
Yeah, we are.
I love you, too. Take care. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, that's sweet. There you go. Hang up the phone. I can work my own phones here. Hey, let's do this. Can we? Can we do what I think I'm going to do? Maybe? Huh? Can we? Yeah, let's call them. Let's do it. There are a lot of big stories in the news this week, so let's get some bets down with our own inside the Beltway odds maker, Johnny K Street. Johnny, where's the action, man?
It follows me, baby.
Great to be back on your show again, Mark. There's been a lot of news out of the Hill since we've seen each other. Abramoff, wiretaps, Cheney, the ports. I've got more action at George Takei at a West Hollywood Star Trek convention. Let's start with Abramoff. Word is he's running his mouth like Howie Mandel on crystal meth. I'm giving 50 to 1. He takes down half the GOP with him if he isn't scalped and skinned first. His Indian name is He Who Lives on Borrowed Time.
That sounds like a lock there, Johnny. I'll take it for a grand. What about wiretaps, Johnny? You're not having any problem with them, are you?
Let's put it this way. I turned on my answering machine the other day, and it said you have 4 messages, and 3 of them are under investigation. My computer has more cookies in it than Michael Moore's kitchen. I'll tell you, Mark, the last few weeks haven't been great for Johnny K.
What do you mean, man? What's the problem?
Well, funny story. Now, a few weeks ago, I come up with one of my biggest long shots yet. 1001, the vice president takes someone out to the middle of the woods and shoots them in the face with a shotgun. Whoops! Not only does Cheney shoot someone in the face, he doesn't even have to talk to the cops about it. Let me ask you a question, Mark.
Yeah.
Is taking people into the woods and shooting them in the face legal now? Because if it is, my cousin Albert needs to reopen his case. The word on the Hill is Cheney told a Secret Service agent it felt so good to shoot someone, he wished he didn't take 5 deferments during Vietnam. I'm giving 50 to 1 he shoots at least 2 more people before the year is over.
All right, buddy, I'll take that for 500, man.
You are down, and you will never make easier money. Needless to say, I took a bath on Cheney, so I figured, hey, that's the business. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'll make it up the week after. I'll pick a real long shot, something I can put some huge odds on, and I'll bounce back. I thought about it for a while, and finally I got it. The perfect long shot. The president turns over the ports of New York to a country that supports terrorism. Strike 2! I don't know who paid off more people in the last few weeks, me or Dubai Ports World.
Johnny, you're from New York. What do you think about this ridiculous ports deal?
Hey, you think the Teamsters are hard to deal with? Try the Taliban. This is one of the crookedest deals Bush has ever done, and that's saying something. Not only has the UAE paid off the president, his father, and his brother, they've been all over the Hill signing up lobbyists to work with him. They've hired more people than a Walmart job fair in Tennessee. I hate to say this, but I'm giving 100 to 1 the deal goes through. Between the cabs and the docks, New York will be surrounded.
All right, man, I'll take it for 100, but that's a bet I'll be happy to lose.
All right, before I go, it's time for my new long shot of the week. I'm giving 5,000 to 1 by the end of the year, Bush will find Osama bin Laden, bring him to the United States, and make him head of FEMA. At this point, anything is possible. That's what's going down on K Street. I'm late for my Pilates class. I'm out of here.
All right, Johnny, we'll see you later.
You know, I love talking to him because I'd be honest with you. I think I have always thought, yeah, this made me nervous too. It did make me nervous, but, you know, Bush went to India. He flew over Afghanistan to assess the situation of the chaos and destruction and horrendous pain he caused those people. But I believe still that he's using Osama bin Laden as some sort of, you know, hidden card, that he knows exactly where he is and that he's just waiting for the proper moment to do it and to show up and say, look, I got him. Not that it would make a big difference, but I think that he's holding out on a couple of cards that, as scary as that guy calling earlier, the mm-hmm. paranoid guy, with the big theories, I don't put it past these guys, the neocon death cult, when they're back into a corner to take dramatic action. It frightens me to not know exactly just how deep and how dark these guys are. That's what I think.
Well, you know, he certainly doesn't care about him anymore, Osama. He doesn't.
I don't know. I think they're hiding him, man. I think they're hiding him. Now, on a different note, if I could, because, you know, Jim, I know that you try to stay healthy, and my wife not only wants me to get a gun, which I'm not getting her. She
very,
wants it. She this is not this conversation hasn't resurfaced again as of late, but she has been wanting to get a gun for security reasons. And my basic premise is that I'm not getting her a gun because there's no way I'm not getting shot with that gun. There's just no way. You can't have a gun in the house. It is a death magnet. It wants to be used and it wants to kill whoever you're fighting with. And I don't need it. Now, she also has talked about her father has a hot tub. You know, he's not an excessive guy. He's not a wealthy guy, but he's got a hot tub. So Misha wants his hot tub. I can't stand hot tubs. And it wasn't because of the reason I'm about to share with you. I just don't like him. I see no reason to sit into hot water for a very long time, unless it's a mineral bath up at the Sage Water Spa up there in Desert Hot Springs, which was lovely. But it's just a hot tub. Dig this. a whirlpool bath or a hot tub. This is a new study shows that it is a breeding ground for disease-causing bacteria. A microbiologist right there at the Texas A&M University tested 43 hot tub samples, all right, from private and public hot tubs, all right? In 95% of the tubs, bacteria derived from feces were present, while 81% had fungi, 34% contained potentially deadly Staphylococcus bacteria. Can I say that again? Staphylococcus. All right. It's getting late. All right. A teaspoon of normal tap water, Jim, because we've had this conversation, because you actually came in with a bottle of bottled water and said, I'm not drinking tap water. There's poop in it. Right? Poop and value. That's
not those words, but I said something like that.
Yeah. Well, what are your words? You said
fecal matter.
Fecal matter and Valium. That's what you say about tap water. All right. A teaspoon of normal tap water contains 138 bacteria, and some are bacteria free, actually. But dig this. A teaspoon of whirlpool tub water, hot tub water, on the other hand, contains an average of more than 2 million bacteria.
So what's the bad part?
2 million.
What's your point here?
The bad part is I feel vindicated in my... I don't want to get a hot tub. I'm never getting in a hot tub again because it's just a stew of virus.
But you know
it's
what?
A viral stew, Jim.
If you have a gun and you go into a hot tub with it, they cancel each other out.
If you get in the gun with the hot tub and you sit there crying and you're just like, I want to relax for the last time, that's a different situation. Then you got nothing to be afraid of. Bacteria found in hot tubs can lead to urinary tract infections, skin infections, and pneumonia. That sounds relaxing.
That
what a lovely spa weekend we had. Guess what? I have pneumonia and a urinary tract infection. Can we go back to that place?
You think
can
that,
we go back?
That hot water would kill all that
oh,
stuff.
Oh, God. I'm getting punchy, man. What do we have left? We got the short order news. I might talk about astrology. Joe from Brilliant at Breakfast, sister, sent me. Brilliantatbreakfast.com is a cute blog. You should go to that. And you should go to markmaron.com. You should know that it's coming up on 50 past the hour. And someone did my chart, which could be very exciting if you believe in this kind of stuff. And there's a guy on the phone from Japan.
Depressed because you haven't heard any. And now he's completely dust-free. Mark Maron.
53 past the hour. Thank you, Jim. It's been a lovely evening. It's so funny. We're pushing up on Mark Riley's show. I bet Mark Riley's listening to me right now. Mark Riley, it's Mark Maron, your old partner. You're going to be on in an hour, man. What's going on, buddy? I'm going to be sleeping. Hey, let's just take this call. This guy's been waiting forever, and he's a blogger, and I want to say hi to him. What's up, Jason? How you doing? You all right?
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Wow. This is great. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, man. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ageo, Japan.
Oh, dude, thank you so much, man. Are you the guy that sent me the candy?
No. I think that was either David in Japan or it might have been King Kong from Taiwan. I'm not sure.
All right, Jason. Well, I'm glad you listened. I'm going to do some jokes now, okay?
What?
Yeah.
Man, leave me hanging here, dude.
What do you mean, leave me hanging? I'd love you.
Man.
What do you want to talk about?
We had a Tokyo Sedition meetup because of your show.
All right. I love you guys, man. Why don't you call me earlier tomorrow? What do you say?
Oh, man. Don't diss me like that.
I'm not dissing you like that. I'm just saying.
I know.
Care, man. What time is it there?
It's, 5:55 in the p.m.
Okay, got to do some jokes. Thanks, Jason. Love you, man. All right, a lot happened in the world today, and we want to make sure you're caught up on current events before you go to bed. So here's tonight's edition of Mark Maron's Short Order News. Newly discovered American Express bills show lobbyist Jack Abramoff paid for a pair of $14,000 plane tickets so Representative Tom DeLay could play golf in Scotland. At one point, the activity on his account became so intense, Bank AmeriCard made a courtesy call to Abramoff to make sure somebody else wasn't making fraudulent bribery charges on his card. That is a long one to get out. New poll shows that 37% of Californians would re-elect Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. The governor's popularity has dropped sharply since last year when Schwarzenegger embarked on a disastrous reform campaign against teachers, nurses, hungry children, and kittens. Aides say they haven't seen this kind of number shrinkage since they tried to find the governor's testicles after 30 years of steroid abuse. Yeah, nothing? Is it too late for these kind of jokes? All right. New studies have showed that soft drinks in Britain and France have 8 times the amount of carcinogens that is permitted in drinking water. In response, consumer groups demanded to know the names of the drinks tested, while beverage companies asked for more time to establish a link between cancer and death.
Wow.
Come on, man. You're not listening.
Listen, no, I'm listening. That's a great joke.
But, all right, folks. Tomorrow, we got Patton Oswalt. Patton Oswalt is going to be with us. And we got Melissa Paul, comedian Melissa Paul. And we're going to have President Bush's radio address a day in advance. Dig that, folks. So, please, come back with us. Thank you, Jason and Drew from Wisconsin. Brendan P.W. McDonald. Paul, the gentle giant on the phone. Jim Earl, as always, I love you, man. So, good night, sheeple.